right, you King's kids, second grade on down, we've got rookie teachers, so have fun with them today. Use them, teach them a thing or two. So King's kids, you are dismissed. Beverly, you're too tall for King's kids. They do have snacks. We're going to be finishing up our final affirmation of faith today, but that's not the end. Don't get too excited. Why are you laughing? I'm never done, so I got to go somewhere. But we have some cleanup sermons. Let's call it that. Have some cleanup sermons to take care of as we go through our affirmation of faith. We're calling it First Things First. What are the doctrines? What are the main beliefs that we have as a church that make us who we are? So we have covered a lot of them in the last months. We've been doing one a week and plodding through. I feel like I was going slowly, but now looking back, like, it's over. Okay, but the next time we have a membership class or an introduction to Graceway class, we are asking the people who are already church members now to sign up, have lunch with us. Shelby is leading it, and we sit down and we go through it, and it gives you a chance to ask more personalized questions, because I know I'm not answering every question regarding our affirmation of faith, also called our statement of faith. So we want to be available. And that's why we have those lunches. So if Shelby calls you, it's not because we think, you know, you're subpar, all right? You're failing membership. That's not what it's about. It's to help all of us get on the same page. Long term, when we are all on the same page and growing together, we will grow better, which is kind of the theme on this last affirmation of faith, which is church cooperation. And it's not about how we cooperate with each other, but how do we as Graceway cooperate with other like-minded churches? So church cooperation is our affirmation today. But man, do I have a lot of heavy things on my heart. We've got somebody in the hospital this morning. We've got people staying home. We've got impending procedures and appointments. You have sick friends, sick family, taking care of elderly friends and family, the stresses of everyday life. Believe it or not, we have people here having trouble raising their kids. Can you believe that? Marriages, relationships, stress, health, work, school. Take a deep breath right now. Inhale, come on. Exhale and pray. God, life is hard. People are hard. Our hearts are hard. We need you to soften us this morning and remind us that life is not just about us. It's not just about me. It's not just about my family. It's not just about my church or my job or even just my city or my country. It's about your kingdom coming. God, remind us that you are behind the scenes everywhere, working all things together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. We need you to call us a little closer to your heart today, God, and remind us that you are doing something far beyond what we can imagine, far beyond what we can conceive of in our minds. You are at work around the world through millions of believers who are living around billions of unbelievers. And remind us of our place and the importance of being a gospel-centered people, living out the great commandment and living for the Great Commission. Change our hearts, God, and help us to see through all the daily distractions of life that just so easily entangle us with busyness and schedules and appointments and pills and programs. Help us to see that you are at work in the middle of all of that. Capture our hearts, that we would be a people who live for you, for your glory, and for the name of Jesus to be lifted higher. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Church cooperation. Our affirmation of faith says this. We believe that local churches can best promote the cause of Jesus Christ by voluntarily cooperating with one another in a denominational organization. Such an organization, whether regional, state, or national, exists and functions by the will of the churches. All cooperation is voluntary and may be terminated at any time. This church, Graceway, used to be called Temple Baptist Church. It grew out of Temple Baptist Church of Odessa, Texas. When people ask why we changed our name to Graceway, my first response is, well, Temple Baptist Odessa changed their name 20 years ago and we're trying to catch up. We're blaming it on them. But over 40 years ago, 1977, a group of like-minded Baptists who, with a heart for missions, looked around Enid and decided that they could do better. They organized, they called a pastor, and Temple Baptist was born. And the heartbeat of Temple Baptist, and I hope still is true, was to be a missions church. It was to be a Bible-centered church for teaching, for preaching, for correction, for doctrine, for training in righteousness, so that God's people will be thoroughly equipped, that we would be a gospel-centered people who do good for God's glory. And the church flourished, and they grew. And they built this building. And they had many faithful families. And there aren't many of them left. But we have you. We have us. And that's the heartbeat of all churches. They all change. They all go through seasons and generations. And it's really important. You single people, you young people, Cole, Helena, don't look at him. Riley, Carly, Chris, Rylan. It's really important that you understand where we came from, why we are here, and where we are going. And we are not here just because we pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. No way. We grew out of another church. Another church cared enough to help start. At least through training, at least through influence. But this church became self-sufficient. Would you say immediately, Bruce? Took a while. You have to build it. And so, churches need other churches. That's the New Testament way. That's the Apostle Paul's way. We believe that local churches can best promote the cause of Jesus Christ by voluntarily cooperating with one another. in a denominational organization. Now, we talked about denominations a little bit last week. We are not part of a true denomination. People call Baptists their own denomination, but we're just an association. We associate with each other, but each Baptist church is independent. Temple Baptist Odessa, Temple Baptist Enid were Baptist Bible Fellowship International Churches, which is just another strand of Baptist associations. It kind of grew out of the Southern Baptist movement in the 50s. There was a little bit of a splitting of ways. Can you imagine that? Baptists couldn't always get along. Yeah, go figure. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of changes in both groups. And today we would identify as a Baptist Bible Fellowship International Church. We also identify as a Southern Baptist Church. When you read the Baptist Faith and Message, the doctrine of the Southern Baptist, we are in line with what they believe. There's not a lot of difference. But here's the key. No organization tells us what to do. We are autonomous, independent, which means our membership is really important. It is our membership that elects the leadership. And the leadership has a responsibility to fairly and accurately represent the membership. We are pastor or elder led, not ruled. Had to correct my kids on that. Your dad does not run the church or own the church. That's the best when little kids are like, well, your dad runs the church. Your dad owns the church. Like, no, and he doesn't really. There's a group of men who didn't appoint themselves. There's a group of men, our deacons, our trustees, our officers, that our membership votes on regularly and puts their membership power, they invest that in leaders, and the leaders are accountable. So that's what it means that we are an independent church. We don't have a pope or a bishop or a cardinal or any other hierarchy above us. So we have a decision to make. Are we going to live on an island and do everything by ourselves and just thumb our noses at everybody in the world? We got together, we don't need you. Because you can go that direction. And we can build our own little kingdom. And we can start ministry after ministry after ministry because we know best and we can only do it right because nobody else can. Careful there. There are a lot of other believers. And there are a lot of other good Baptist churches. And there are a lot of good organizations. So this affirmation of faith, we state it clearly. We believe that this local church, Graceway, can best promote Jesus by voluntarily cooperating with other churches. In fact, we want to. We need to. We're expected to. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Before I read this, I put it in your bulletin, but here are some of our affiliations. We identify as a Baptist Bible Fellowship International Church. We identify with the Cherokee Strip Baptist Association. That is largely Garfield County Baptists. Meet with them, those pastors, weekly. We have lunch together. We do events together. Right now, the youth group is meeting with some other youth groups on Wednesday nights together. Includes First Baptist, Open Door, Sojourn, Emmanuel, First Baptist Enid, and there are others that we work together on events and community outreach. And then for the statewide, we participate, we associate with the Oklahoma Baptists. Nationally, the Southern Baptist Convention. And we benefit from a lot of Southern Baptist stuff. You know, we go to Falls Creek. Disaster relief, that's huge. Baptist homes, did you know that Golden Oaks is now operated through the Baptist homes, which are operated underneath Southern Baptist Convention now? They own that. They're reorganizing that, putting in new management. They had some crazy stuff going on there for a while. So I think now with that that amount of power and oversight and experience, it's going to get better. We can hope so, right? We also associate with Manna Worldwide. A lot of you give every month to feed kids around the world at feeding centers that are operated by missionaries and foreign churches. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We've done things with them. The Gideons, we like to support them. They're buying, producing, and distributing Bibles around the world. And we have various missions agencies that we send money to. Locally, we send money to Hope Outreach, Forgotten Ministries. Coming up, Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, Enid Welcome Table on Sunday nights for dinners, loaves and fishes when they need food, YWCA for women's crisis and counseling and housing, the YMCA, community outreach for kids to come play in a gym and get into youth activities. Like, we spread ourselves out in a lot of different places as we see a need. And that's part of our freedom, to cooperate where we want to cooperate. And all of these associations have been because somebody sitting where you are sitting thought it was important to help them. It's not my call. I don't sit around in my office all day and say, where can we help? I wait for you to say this. Here's where I'm going to help. Yeah. Be careful that you don't point at me and tell me what to do, because I'm going to point back at you and say, you do it. Here's what you need to do. I am you. We are together. This is about us. Don't tell me what to do. Tell me what you're going to do. That's the kind of vision or dream or heartbeat that I like to get behind. Because when you're all in it, it's easier to rally other people all in it. I'm not trying to promote my program or my agenda here. You promote your program. You tell me where God is leading you. And there are a lot of people here who will support you. That's the only reason we have Manna Worldwide in the first place. We had a few people who wanted to give to that, so we gave, and it turned into a big thing. Operation Christmas Child. We have a few people who wanted to do that. We opened it up and tripled our usual amount of shoeboxes for kids. Like, when we work together, we get more done. If that's true right here with just us, it's also true with other churches. When we cooperate with other churches of like mind, like faith, or just a like passion, we can get so much more done in this world than we can alone. 1 Corinthians 3, follow along, verses 5 through 9. The Apostle Paul, he says, what then, or who then is Apollos? And what is Paul referring to himself? We're just servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, he planted the gospel. Apollos watered the gospel with teaching. But it was God who gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And the point of this passage is that churches are planted and watered by people God has assigned. Write that down. Planted and watered by people God has assigned. God assigns people through circumstances, through other Christians. He assigns people to churches. You are assigned to this church. You are sitting in here today. This is where you need to be. God's in charge of that. And he has you here for a reason. One, to build you up, but two, to build up other people and to build his kingdom. You are a tool in God's hands. He wants to use you today to encourage other people, bless other people, build other people up, and further his kingdom through you. And when we all do that together, he builds this church. And when this church does it with other churches, it builds more churches. But you have to see your place. Because this church that he's writing to in 1 Corinthians, some of they were divided. Well, I'm more of a follower of Apollos. He's such a better speaker. Have you seen that Paul guy? He's got like runny eyes. He's like short. Like, who is this Paul guy? And the people over here are like, Paul, he's an apostle. Like, the dude who survived shipwrecks and beatings and raised from the dead. Like, he's awesome. We're serving Paul. And Paul steps in with this letter and says, who's Apollos? Who's Paul? We're doing the same thing. God assigned us different roles. Don't just latch onto a dynamic, particular leader, because leaders will always fail you. They can't be there all the time, and they can't be perfect all the time. They're like you. They have good days and bad days. Be careful what you latch onto. Be careful what you see on the screen, because you're not seeing all of it. You zoom in, you'd be astounded how much makeup that TV preacher is wearing. Ooh, I do not ever want to get to that point. That's just disgusting. Well, a little powder will take the shine off. A little coloring might take away some of that glare. Like, careful. Don't promote yourself. And don't be sucked into following a person. You need to look for people who have been assigned by God and are fulfilling their mission. In verse 9, Paul says, we are God's fellow workers. I like that. We're all on the same team. Even if we're doing different jobs in the church or through different churches, churches are important. And they need to find their identity in Jesus. So just like Paul and Apollos were fellow workers to plant and water churches, so too churches are to plant and water other churches. This is part of the Great Commission heartbeat. Jesus looks out on his disciples and he says, go make disciples. Baptize them, train them, teach them, do all the things I've taught you to do. Now they would take that personally, but then they're teaching it corporately. And as different churches are started, all of those churches are hearing the same words of Jesus. So all of those churches now are working together to make more disciples and to plant more churches. And that's how it works. That we are intended to work together. Churches need to care about other churches. Churches need to care about starting other churches. Churches need to pray for other churches. Churches need to work with other churches. We had a hand in helping Open Door Church launch in Enid as a church plant. Well, our town doesn't need another church. And why do they have 250 people this morning? Why? They're meeting a need. They're meeting a need. We don't have enough churches in this town. If everybody in Enid decided to wake up and go to church today, there would not be enough parking spots or seats for them. There's the mission field. Different regions of cities need different kinds of pastors, and different pockets of people groups need different kinds of churches, different kinds of music, different kinds of styles, different languages, different levels of comfort. And we need to be a part of that and not take it personally. Especially if your grandkids are there. Man, you like, we want them to grow, right? Amen. They fit in. They love it there. And yet she's here. We love that. And we need to be able to rejoice over that. And celebrate when others are doing great. Even if we feel like we're not. I think we're great. I think we're right where we need to be. Meeting the people we need to meet with. And we have room for more. Bring them. Invite them. Knock on their door. Greet your neighbors. New kid at school. Invite them to church. Invite them to youth group. Well, I don't go to youth group. Then come to youth group. They already go to a church. Try anyway. We're not trying to steal people. We're trying to get people plugged in to a church where they can serve God, even if that's not this church. Talk to the visitors. Hey, what's your background? Where are you from? This is my favorite line. What are you looking for in a church? Spoiler alert to my visitors this morning, if I see you afterwards. What are you looking for in a church? And very few people can tell me, and that bothers me. Well, we just... Is that how you found Graceway? You didn't know what you were looking for, and you just kind of landed? Know what you're looking for. Know what you want. And if you still don't know what you're looking for in a church, some of you members, if you're not plugged in, if you don't feel involved, if you don't feel like we're meeting your needs, maybe it's because you don't know what your needs are. Write it down. Pray about it. Talk to your family. This may not be the church for you. If you don't trust, if you don't follow, if you don't give, if you don't want to serve, if you don't want to be here. Now, you know, if you're living at home and your parents say to be here, you need to be here. Suck it up. That's the way it's going to be, right? That's called learning the hard way. You just got to do what you got to do. Your day will come when you can go where you want to go. But for now, we need people who have a kingdom mindset and a kingdom heart. And even if we're helping people plug in with the church somewhere else, we're okay with that. As long as they're plugging in. Because what this is all about is churches helping people find Jesus. How can we do that? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just a few pages over. 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It's at the end of his letter. It's kind of one of those sections, chapters of the Bible, where he's like just filling in a lot of cleanup material that really you think just helping those people, but it gives you a snapshot of what is going on in early church life that is gorgeous. Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send to those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. There was a famine in the Middle East, and the churches in Israel and Syria were suffering. And the Apostle Paul told the churches in Greece and in Rome that the other people were starving. And he started collecting money from churches to go feed people in other churches. That's the point. Churches helping churches. They were willing to give to help people who had a need on the other side of the ocean. People they had never met. How in the world? What would motivate you to help somebody you've never met? They believe in Jesus? Yes. Oh, by the way, your churches wouldn't be here without those churches. Like, they also saw an interconnectedness. That's where this all started from. Paul is from Damascus. Paul was sent out by those believers. Those believers cared for us. We're going to care for them. And so begins the cycle. The more you give, the more you receive, and the more you receive, the more you want to give. They love each other. They have a unique bond in Jesus that motivates them to help one another. That's the spirit of cooperation, voluntarily cooperating with one another to promote the cause of Jesus. That's the heartbeat behind Manna Worldwide, our feeding centers that we send money to every month. We've committed to send $500 a month to Manna Worldwide. A lot of that's going to Haiti right now. All the earthquakes and tropical storms, they are hurting. It's helping. It's making a difference. And Christians are operating these centers. So they're using it as a gospel witness as well. They are your light in the world in a very dark place. Man, is God going to bless people who give to manna worldwide? Undoubtedly. It is dark out there, and we are sending light, not just food. But there's more. Look, in verse 6, Paul says, "Perhaps I'll stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me." It's not even just helping journey, helping individual churches. It's about helping one person, Paul and his team, because he doesn't travel alone. This is about supporting individual people who are doing ministry around the world. That's why we support missionaries. That's why they're in your bulletin. That's who we want to be known as. A people who support people who are telling other people about Jesus. And God makes your American dollars go a long way around the world. God makes your American dollars go a long way around the world. It's not a, "God bless you, I'll pray for you." It's a, "God blessed me, here's my money." It cuts to the heart of American greed and materialism to support missions. And that's a good thing. We need to be a church that is willing to support people around the world who are telling other people about Jesus. And look in verse 3. "And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift." Paul just recruited people from the church in Corinth to go with him. Some people give, and Paul expects some people to go. He said, "I'm not just taking your money, I'm taking some of you people with me. You're going with me. I'm not carrying all that money. You carry it yourself. I'm an old man. I'm preaching. I'm an apostle." He doesn't say all of that, but he's also recruiting people who have a heartbeat, not just to travel and see the world, but who have a heartbeat to help churches and help promote the name of Jesus. Because when you're around Paul long enough, you know what's going to happen? A church is going to be born. Wherever he goes, he's preaching, he's teaching, and a church is born. And most of the time when a church is born, he takes one of these guys who's traveling with him and says, "Sit. Stay. You stay." And then he writes him a letter, "Dear Timothy, dear Titus, to the elders, the leaders in Ephesus." These New Testament letters are specifically written to the leaders in all of these churches. And he says, pass these letters around. Churches helping churches. Churches supporting missionaries. Churches supporting pastors. Churches supporting one another. Churches being independent. Churches cooperating voluntarily. Paul is not out there ruling or setting up a kingdom. Nowhere does he say Peter is the head of all of these churches. Nowhere does that come out. Each of these churches is independent, autonomous, self-supporting. They're so vibrant that they're sending money to other churches and helping one another. I cannot help but call them God's kingdom. That's the way God rolls, and it is a beautiful thing. The very doctrines that we've been preaching through in our affirmation of faith, we consider important to build our church, and those doctrines that build our church are the doctrines we look for in other churches. And when we see other churches we agree with, boy, do we have a sister church. And man, can we get more done together. That's the beauty of the Baptist Bible Fellowship International. That's the heartbeat of the Southern Baptist Convention or any of these other missions organizations that we cooperate with and work with. We do it for the purpose of promoting Jesus to a lost and dying world. But second sentence of our affirmation of faith. Such an organization that we cooperate with or that we partner with, such an organization, whether it's regional, state, or national, it exists, and here's the key line, functions by the will of the churches. Functions by the will of the churches. When an organization outgrows its usefulness or starts doing things against the will of churches, churches like ours that are independent, we have the right to withdraw. We don't have to participate if we don't want to participate. This is a voluntary thing. And it's, in fact, it's one of the ways that your money talks. Because an organization will change. And another key line, that association may be terminated at any time. We're not in a contract. We are not AT&T or T-Mobile. You will not be penalized. You can take your money and go support who you think God is using. See where God is at work and join Him. See where God is moving and join Him. See where God is moving in a young person's life and support them. See where God is moving in a young church and support them and pray for them. See where God is calling somebody to missions and support them and help them. One of my long-term dreams here is to start a scholarship fund for ministry kids. But it's going to take a large chunk of money. It's going to take an endowment. It's going to take somebody leaving us $100,000 in their will. And the next time I get a kid who says, I'm going to ministry, paid in full. No stumbling block, no worry. God saw the need and God met it. Pray about that. Think about that. And it may not need to be that much for you, but when four or five families get together and want to support the kingdom of God by supporting an individual or supporting a church, we get more done together. We're getting a new roof on Monday. I'm tired of cleaning up leaks and moving mats and laying out fans all week. Building maintenance is a pain. And it smells a little sour for a while, and poor LaDonna has to come in and clean it up. And it's a pain. You realize Oliver Rowland is paying for that roof? He's been dead for 4 years. And he is buying you a new roof. Who in here doesn't even know who Oliver is? Raise your hands. Loud, big, come on, bring it on. Dun. Thank you. You may put your hands down. He didn't care. He doesn't care that you don't know him. He left the church a lot of money. And he lived on very little. And we are still benefiting from his faithfulness. Faithfulness. I don't think he ever made more than $15 an hour in his life. How does a man who does that leave a church $100,000? How? How does he do that? That's a God thing. And he was faithful. And he went to work. And he lived on less than he made. Everything in his life was paid for. No debt. Everything paid in cash. Even his weekly bills. Living alone, that was kind of one of his pleasures in life, was to drive around town every week and pay in cash whatever bill was due. ONG, OG&E, Suddenlink. He just, car insurance. And he always paid things by the month because I think it gave him something to do. You know, get out and go pay a bill. Nothing was on a yearly payment program. He just driving around town with money in his pocket. Like, faithful. And he has helped build this church. He has helped me. He's made my life easy. Every time I look in the stinking parking lot, like, oh, there's his trailblazer. Still giving. Now I'm going to pull up and go look at that roof. Still giving. It's like, that's wonderful. So don't think you don't have enough to make an impact. You do. Especially long term. If you are determined to do something for God's kingdom, and it doesn't have to be money. And I've said this before. If everybody in this church gave me an hour a week, I could get more done. than if everybody in this church gave me $100,000. Because no matter how much money we have, we need people to talk to people and to meet neighbors and to meet needs. It's people who really get stuff done. Some of you are gifted givers. Thank you for that. I need some gifted preachers. I need some gifted testimonies. I need some gifted hospitality. I need some gifted meals. We need to meet needs. And whenever we're part of an organization or we have a program that doesn't meet needs, chop it off at the head. Terminated. We only want to do the things that best promote Jesus. But we will do it with grace. We will do it with grace. That is our religious liberty in this country, to participate where we want to participate. Turn to John 17. Let's fill in the rest of these blanks here. John 17, verses 15 through 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 17, prayer of Jesus. John 17, I want you quietly to read verses 15 through 18. John 17, 15 through 18. Go. That is meat. You see what Jesus, these are Jesus' words. What does he want to do with you? It's right there. How's he going to do it through you? It's right there. How I survive in this world? It's right there. How can I change? It's right there. What does he want from me? What's my purpose in life? It's right there. Bring your Bible to church and don't trust what I say. If you can't read that right now, I'm not giving you a blessing. You read that yourself. That's meat. That will change you. When you believe these verses, that is how you are sent into the world. That is what will change you. Verse 17. That, read that again. Verse 17. This is what will change my life. This is how I will be holy. This is how I can break my habits. This is how I can be the right husband or wife or parent or student. That verse right there, 17:17. God's word. And then he says, I'm going to send you into the world just like I was sent. How was Jesus sent into the world? Pick up one of these books if you haven't read it already. We've got some on the bookshelf. We've got some out in the lobby. Here's how Jesus came into the world. Not high and exalted and riding a fiery horse with a fiery sword, garment dipped in blood. That's later. He came into the world gentle and lowly. He doesn't have to condemn the world. John 3, 17. The world's already condemned. He came with forgiveness and grace and peace. That's how he was sent into the world. And what did it look like? Philippians 2, 1 through 8. Here's what it looked like. Write these down. Jesus emptied himself. His agenda? No. His will? No. God's will. Humbled himself. Do whatever I want? No. Do whatever the Father wants. Obedient to death. But I thought life was supposed to be happy, easy, and God was out for my prosperity. He wanted me to be rich, healthy, and live a long life. Maybe God has called you to something different than Jesus is calling you to. And your God is a lowercase G. That was a J, my bad. G. That's the Christian life. That's how he wants to send you into the world. That's what it means to be a stay-at-home mom. That's what it means to be a dad who changes diapers. That's what it means to be middle management for your entire life. Not all of us are going to be like what the world says is successful. You just got to slog through life sometimes. And if you don't have a reason for living, a God worth living for, you're going to bottom out. Why don't you just bottom yourself out and get it over with? Hit the bottom, look to Jesus, let him lift you up and give you new purpose, new meaning. He even says, come to me. Come. Here's my heart. I'm gentle and lowly. It's not going to crush you. It's going to help you, lift you up. He's going to be yoked together with you. So as we end this, and we're talking about church cooperation, but it has to start with us. Cooperation starts with you cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and it needs to be personal. Long before you can look out and say, hey, where can I help other people? You need to look at yourself and say, God, I need help. Help me. You need to be born again. You need to stop living life for yourself and give your life to Jesus Christ. You have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and be and become a spiritual person. And then cooperation, it grows into you cooperating with a local church. What does that mean? It means you have to submit to membership in some way, in some shape, in some form, where you are giving, you are serving, you are yielding to the leaders and the leadership and the mission of a bigger body of people. Cooperation. And eventually cooperation blossoms into you supporting missionaries. Missionaries who are starting other churches around the world. You supporting missionaries. This would include church planters. We've got some of those on our list that we support. And it also includes charities. Charities in our community, charities around the world. People who are doing things so that they can represent Jesus well. That's missions. And in all of these things, we have to ask ourselves, okay, if my church is supposed to do that, what's my part? What's my role? Well, let me ask you, where do you empty yourself out every day? Who do you empty yourself out for? Anybody? Anything? Where do you humble yourself? Do you actively humble yourself in front of anybody every day as a sign of love and the Spirit of Jesus to reach them, to help them, to love them? Where do you obey people who ask much of you? Obedience is hard. Where and when have you given up your rights to serve and humble yourself before other people? That'll change things. That'll change a lot of things. Last blank on your outline. Cooperation leads more people to Jesus. So cooperate. Cooperate with us. Cooperate with us as we cooperate with others. Cooperate through membership. Cooperate through giving. Cooperate through serving. See other places. If this church is doing something that you aren't passionate about, try it anyway. If this church is not doing something you're passionate about, either help us do it or go find another church that is doing it. And don't let your gift or your passion die or fizzle out and blame us. You have the ability to go do that elsewhere. Go do that. That's okay. It's okay for you to serve the Lord like that. November 7th, we are serving the Enid Welcome Table again. Lori, raise your hand. Lori's in charge. She's got the sign-up list. Hear me, those of you who are faithful to the Enid Welcome Table. If you did it last time we did it, do not sign up yet. I want an all new crew of servants to sign up to make food, buy food, and serve food at the Enid Welcome Table. If you've never done it before, we will walk you through it. It's fun, it's easy, and it's serving needy people. Food insecure people in our city. So see Lori. It's November the 7th from 4 to about 6 p.m. Get your family involved with Operation Christmas Child. That back table in the next couple of weeks we are going to set up with posters and dates, and we're going to pack shoeboxes, age-appropriate, gender-appropriate shoeboxes that we send around the world with an organization called Samaritan's Purse, and they put a appropriate language gospel track and coloring book in there, and they use missionaries and they use service teams around the world to deliver hope of Jesus to kids in the name of Christmas, in the name of Christ. So we're going to do that. Sign up for that. Pray over one of our missionaries today. Take your bulletin home. Put on the table. Put in your pocket. Pray over one of these families today at lunch. And then put this on the fridge. And pray over them every time you open the fridge. They should get a lot of prayer. I know some of you. Been there, done that. Come on. Put it somewhere you won't miss it. And you know, if you're a drummer and you're a geek, put this on your drum set. And don't drum until you pray. Put this on your Xbox. And don't game until you pray. Put this in the driver's seat of your car. When you get in, pause. I don't care if you're running late. Pause and pray. Take a minute out of your life and dedicate it to God's program around the world. That's what cooperation really is. It's not just how this church cooperates. It's how you cooperate with what God is doing around the world. So stand with me. Let's pray together and ask God to help us cooperate with Him. Hell, we're going to ask God to help us see where He's at work. And we're going to ask God to help us jump in and cooperate the way He wants us to. So bow your heads. Let's pray. God, we come to You as a people who have always been dependent upon other churches. We use other churches. We use their curriculum. We use their books. We have learned from their experiences. Other pastors have poured into this church, and youth pastors and music pastors and deacons and elders from many places. You have brought through this church over the years and built us through people. And we ask You this morning, God, to help us be a people who will now build Your kingdom here. And help us be a people who will build Your kingdom around the world. Use our money, because it's Your money. Use our talents and abilities, because You gave them to us. Use our passions. You're the one who flames our hearts. Use us, God, because we lay ourselves before You this morning, and we pray that You would use Graceway Baptist Church to help other churches. Otherwise, snuff us out. Scatter us. If we ever get to the point that we don't want to help others, then God, remove us. But You're not done with us yet. So we rise up today and say, Lord, here I am. Send me.
Steadfast love, my Blessing as you go from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.